The Filipino population is living in a religiously diverse society. Although over 80% of Filipinos subscribe to the Christian faith, be it Roman Catholicism, Protestantism, or Evangelicals, a significant portion of the population are Muslims, and there are those that maintain indigenous belief systems. Within this context, together with the high level of religiosity among Filipinos, discussions about the relationship between politics and religion are often laden with heated debates. How do we further understand the connection between our religious affiliations and political convictions, especially in light of the coming elections?
Politicians being endorsed by religious groups.
Politicized religious institutions.
Citing religious texts in political debates.
Hindi na bago yan. Hi, I am Lee Candelaria.
I am Vekal Porha.
This is Aaron Maliari, and you are listening to podcast Conversations in Philippine History, Politics, and Society.
Okay, we have a very important topic today, lalo na ngayong election season. Naririnig na natin ang iba't ibang plataporma at posisyon ng mga kandidato sa iba't ibang issue. At syempre, ang mga botante, meron ding mga sarili-sariling pananaw. Yung big question natin this episode ay kung paano ba natin titingnan yung relihiyon kaugnay ng politika sa Pilipinas.
Very important, very controversial, at very polarizing topic indeed. Nakikita natin yan sa mga conversation both online at offline. Madalas, di ba, makikita natin yung mga profiles sa Facebook or sa Twitter na may mga Bible verses. Tapos, yung status or tweets tipong patayin lahat ng adik o di kaya pasabugan dapat ng bomba yung rally na yan. So, medyo jarring yung disconnect, no?
True. At to help us in our discussion today, we invited internationally renowned sociologist of religion, Dr. Jail Cornelio of the Ateneo de Manila University Development Studies Program. So to start off, we asked Jail the big question na minention ni Vec kanina. Paano nga ba natin mauunawaan ang papel ng relihiyon sa political life ng mga Pilipino?
The Philippines is one of the most religious societies in the world. Surveys show that napakababa ng mga atheists sa Pilipinas or ng mga non-affiliated. 90% of Filipinos belong to a Christian group. 80% are Catholic, the others are evangelicals, and the others are from the indigenous or independent churches, no, like Iglesia ni Cristo or the Kingdom of Jesus Christ, ni Pastor Apollo Kipoloni. And then the rest are Muslims and people of other faiths. In other words, given our religious diversity and given the high religiosity of Filipinos, it's impossible to separate religion, religious worldviews, theological viewpoints from people's political choices. Now, is that good or bad? It's a double-edged sword. I think yun yung dapat natin pag-usapan. Hindi siya pwedeng evil lang parating or hindi siya pwedeng parating good lang. It's a double-edged sword. What do I mean by that? From a sociological perspective, pwedeng makatulong ang relihiyon or pananampalataya, pwedeng the religious institution, pwedeng private personal beliefs, pwedeng moral worldviews. Those are all different aspects of religion, ano? Lahat ng yun pwedeng makatulong sa pagpapalalim ng ating democratic cultures, democratic conversations. Pwedeng makatulong yan. Halimbawa, the role of values in challenging us to make informed decisions about what policies to support or which candidates to endorse and so forth. The good side, democratic conversations. Pero double-edged sword siya. So pwede rin siyang maging inimical to democratic cultures. Halimbawa, we have religious cultures that exalt authoritarianism. Tahimik ka na lang. Huwag ka nang magtanong. Sumunod ka na lang para sa ikatataguyod at sa pagkakaisa. No? Uso-uso yung salitang yan ngayon. Ano? Pagkakaisa ng ating simbahan, sumunod ka na lang. Total, nasa Biblia naman yan. So may mga ganyan, no? Mythological justifications for being silent, for authoritarian preferences. Pero pangalawa, alam din naman natin that religious institutions are not always on the good side of history. They love being with the powerful, praying over questionable politicians. Siyempre, ang theological justification, eh, kung yun naman ang makakapag-convert sa kanila at makakapag-mabago sa kanila, bakit hindi? Ang hindi lang nila naiisip is that, well, what are you really endorsing in the end, di ba? And many churches, religious groups, are committing that grave sin, if I can call it that. No? Kasi by siding with the powerful, they lose their ability to question them when these politicians commit serious and really questionable decisions as leaders. Hindi mo na magagawa yun. In theological speak, you fail to fulfill your prophetic calling as a church because you are already one with the powerful, inimical to democracy.
I think kailangan natin i-emphasize yung point ni Jail na double-edged sword naman talaga kapag tinitignan natin ang impluwensya ng relihiyon sa politika.
Totoo, lalo na yung point na some religious institutions have the proclivity to side with those with power. At may ilang religious teachings na ini-stretch to accommodate a supportive stance that stifle democratic participation.
Yeah, yung point about siding with the powerful is always baffling. Ano? Kasi kung titingnan natin yung history ng mga religion na makikita natin sa Pilipinas, these religions started out as movements that experienced heavy persecution from those with power.
Which brings in yung important aspect ng isang individual at paano ba na ninegotiate yung ating religious beliefs sa stand natin on political and social issues. Sabi ko nga kanina, yung may Bible verse ka sa social media profile mo pero yung post mo supportive sa killings or violence. Paano yun? We ask Jail about this as well.
Religion and the life of a person, hindi natin pwedeng i-assume that it is always consistent. That's the very first premise that we have in the sociology of religion. To put it provocatively, laging split level ang isang tao. The religious worldview, if you will, or the moral framework na parang dapat ito, dapat hindi ganyan. Pero meron ding another level na parang it really depends on what happens on the ground. Let me negotiate my morality when I get to that point. So dun pala, makikita na natin na pagdating sa politics, hindi readily na-apply ang the Ten Commandments. Pero it's also possible, and this is where being familiar and being aware of the moral justifications ng other camp really matters. Posible kasi na they don't necessarily see stealing or lying as the fundamental issue in politics. Posible kasi ang fundamental issue sa kanila ay halimbawa abortion, divorce. Nakita ko na yan. May mga candidates who are really very much open to. Lenny Robredo, for example, is very much open. She hasn't really made a stand concerning abortion. At one point, sinabi niya that she is open to having conversation with women who experience rape and so forth. Big no yan. If you come from a conservative religious group, whether Catholic or evangelical or any Protestant denomination or one of those religious groups, no, na ultra-conservative, na talagang no. Life begins at conception, etc. So pag ganun, automatic, single issue ka lang na ang political preference mo. Then, you turn to other candidates who will be categorical on this matter. So they turn to Bongbong Marcos. Or they turn to Manny Pacquiao. We can go on and on with all these hot button issues. Gender equality, Manny Pacquiao. Same-sex marriage, Manny Pacquiao. diba? War on drugs is a moral issue. Sa pananaw ng nating mga progressives at mga human rights advocates and faith-based activists, maling-mali ang war on drugs. Pero sa pananaw ng isang, and this is based on my research with Aaron Medina and Ian Maranyon, sa pananaw ng marami mga religious leaders that we talk to, some of them are mega church pastors, some of them are pastors of small churches, certain lives are far more valuable. May hierarchies of acceptable lives and unacceptable lives. Kasi nga, ang logic naman nila is that bakit ko paproteksyonan yung isang pumili ng buhay na ganyan kesa dun sa anak ko na hindi naman siya drug addict, paproteksyonan ko yung anak ko bago siya ma-implementyahan ito. Paano po kung pinatay siya yung drug addict? Well, sabi ng Bible, for the wages of sin is death. Daling gumamit ng verses na ganun eh. Dalinon. See? Single issue. That's why many evangelicals and conservative Christians rallied behind Duterte's war on drugs. They continue to do so to this day.
Grabe for me yung reality na yun, ano, na Even those that preach the teachings of the Bible, for example, would see that some lives are more valuable than others. Kasi when we look at, for example, yung Roman Catholicism, the very word Catholic means universal or all-embracing. Kasi nga, ang turo ay, ang kaligtasan ay para sa lahat.
Totoo yan. Lalo na kung titingnan nga natin yung history ng Catholic Church and how Catholics were slaughtered in the Roman Empire bago mag-convert si Constantine at kilalanin ang Catholicism.
Kaya talagang hindi natin maihiwalay ang conversation ng religion at politics kahit na may constitutional provision. Kasi, syempre, religion affects the everyday lives of people. At dahil nabanggit nyo na nga yung historical roots, even in colonialism, religion played a major role, di ba? Nung nag-aaway ang Portugal at Spain sa naval routes noong 15th century, they turned to the Pope, and then Pope Alexander VI published the papal bull called the Intercaetera that divided the world into two halves. At may basbas ng simbahan yung mga expeditions to the quote-unquote new lands basta mag-convert yung mga natives to Christianity.
Yeah, so God, gold, glory nga, diba? So una yung God sa 3 G's. At kahit sa sinaunang pamayanan sa Pilipinas naman, may kita natin yung datu working hand in hand with the babaylan to pursue ginhawa para sa mga mamamayan ng barangay. So when the Philippines became a Spanish colony, sa maraming pueblos, mga friar ang mukha ng pamumunong Espanyol kasi karamihan ng mga Espanyol nasa Intramuros naman.
Totoo ito, at actually, we even have several accounts when the friars would intervene in political affairs, even sending petitions to the King of Spain regarding policies that affect the Indios. Although syempre, these friars were not innocent in also being corrupt. Talagang yung religious life ng mga tao nag-overlap sa iba pang aspekto ng buhay. Sa pag-aaral nga ni Reynaldo Ileto, for example, inargue niya yung papel ng pasyon sa pag-unawa ng mga revolusyonaryo sa struggles nila at sa movement for independence. So mula nung start ng colonialism hanggang sa revolution, nandun yung religion.
At syempre, all the way kahit nagpalit pa ng colonizers, nanatili yung papel ng religion sa politika. Di ba nga, nung elections for the 1935 Commonwealth Presidency, kalaban ni Manuel Quezon, si Emilio Aguinaldo at si Gregorio Aglipay, Obispo Maximo ng Iglesia Filipina Independiente. So it has always been there.
Sa contemporary scene naman, we of course see yung endorsements at mga pa-pray over sa mga kandidato. And we even see leaders of evangelical churches running for office. Like if you remember, si Brother Eddie Villanueva ng Jesus is Lord, who ran for president twice in 2004 and in 2010.
So given this longer history, we see here that there is really this indispensable connection between politics and religion in the Philippines. Pero like in the episode on the military and politics, we see a politicized military doon sa discussion natin doon. So maybe we also need to understand kung meron din ba tayong quote-unquote politicized religious institutions. Here are Jail's thoughts.
Yes, we can use that word, politicized. But I'm approaching it differently. Sa literature ngayon, sa mga sociologists of religion, many of us are becoming interested dun sa konsepto ng religious nationalism. Yung idea that the nation belongs to it, has a specific religious identity. So the Philippines is a Christian nation. Paulit-ulit nating naririnig yan. It's almost always unproblematized. No? Parang journalists say that, commentators use that, pastors and priests use that. The Philippines is the only Christian nation in Asia, mga ganyang mga statements. What they don't realize is that it's also a politically loaded, politically charged statement. What kind of Christianity are we talking about? Yung progressive ba o yung conservative? Or yung ultra-right wing? Yun ba ang tinutukoy natin? Kasi kapag may Christians naman na pro-divorce, pero hindi sila kasama doon. Why? Because the assumption of this kind of Christian nationalism, or what I call theological nationalism in my own writings, is that the Philippines is Christian, and its holiness needs to be upheld. And yung holiness na yan is defined according to certain values. Heteronormative, patriarchal, even violent, taken to a certain extreme. So that's why yung RH Bill, nahirapan. More than a decade bago siya nakalusot. Bakit? Kasi, well, the argument is that sex has to be for procreative purposes. Pero what it really does is it really disciplines the woman, right? The woman has no other role in life but to become a mother. Yan, may ganyan yan eh. Walang responsibility tuloy dun sa the wider population and so forth. Ganun din ang makikita natin sa resistance to divorce. Bakit? Kasi marriage is supposed to be a holy institution, sacred, you know, what God has put together, let no man put asunder, may mga ganyang statements. And again, I understand. Pero ang hindi nare-recognize is domestic violence. Paano yun? Ano pa example? Same-sex marriage, right? Lalo na same-sex marriage. Kasi the idea is that homosexuality and they have terms for this, not these conservatives. The homosexual agenda is going to destroy the moral fabric of the nation. No? Same-sex marriage, parents, same-sex parenting, and so forth. And a laging imagery na narinig ng mga tao sa ganyan ay Sodom and Gomorrah, God is going to punish the Philippines. Mag-ganon. Forget the fact na actually, pinaparusahan na po ang Pilipinas kahit wala pa po ito yung same-sex marriage because for all many, many other reasons. No? So yun, bakit kailangan i-defend the Philippines? Because it is a Christian nation of a particular color. See? It's politically charged against people who don't subscribe to that kind of Christianity. But nasa na yung religious freedom doon? The freedom to choose my own beliefs or not believe at all. Kasama yun sa religious freedom.
When we see this religious nationalism, we also need to understand how this plays out sa maraming mega evangelical churches in terms of how they see themselves in the Philippines in relation to the world. Ito yung tinatawag ni Jail na religious worlding.
Yung konsepto ng religious worlding po, na hindi wording, worlding sa mga kapatid, no? Mga nakikinig sa atin ngayon, it's an orientation, you know, it's both psychological but also material projection of a religious group towards the world, kaya siya worlding. So halimbawa, yung pagpapatayo ng Philippine Arena, ng Iglesia ni Cristo, it's an example of religious worlding in the sense na they're using all their financial resources to build a triumphalist architecture or triumphalist space. Di ba, Philippine Arena ay nasa Ciudad de Victoria, the City of Victory. You can do a discourse analysis of all these names na makikita mo na parang, yeah, it's really a triumphalist religion. Pero the City of Victory and Philippine Arena is not projected to us Filipinos. Hindi siya yung katulad ng kanilang Templo Central, no? Dito sa Commonwealth na when it was built in the 1980s, it was built at the time when Iglesia ni Cristo became a national religion in the sense na everywhere you go, may makikita kang mga lokal na kapilya. When their 100th anniversary in 2014, they built Ciudad de Victoria, but this time projecting their global presence, no? And that's true, no? Wherever you go, there are Iglesia ni Cristo members, not just among Filipinos, but really among other nationalities. How do you square that with religious nationalism, with Christian nationalism? Because the idea is that the Philippines is now the center of Christianity. Yun ang konsepto ng worlding. You project to the world, pero you're actually inviting the world to see you. At maririnig natin yan in so many ways, no? Kay Pastor Apollo Kibuloy, meron siyang prayer garden, the prayer mountain, the New Jerusalem, ang Davao. Diba? Wala sa Israel ang New Jerusalem, nasa Davao. Alright? Yung Ciudad de Victoria, ano bang claim ng Iglesia ni Cristo? It's the one true church to emerge in the Far East. Asan yung Far East? Pilipinas, right? Evangelicals, look at the churches. Born-again Christian churches, like every nation, Victory, nasa na headquarters nila? Pilipinas. Ano ang kanilang orientation? Asia. So, ganun, diba? And the Philippines, these churches can make that claim about the Philippines because they have already amassed all the resources, financial, material, and even membership to make this worlding happen. And the center of it all is the Philippines. So, it's still nationalistic.
Ganda ng discussion na yun, no? Kasi I think it plays out sa pag-unawa natin sa political behavior ng religious groups in Philippine churches.
I agree. Lalo na sa very highly poignant discussion on block voting. Diba? Madalas natin itong makita, kaya nga hinahanap yung endorsement ng mga churches sa Pilipinas. Here is what Jail has to say about this.
Obviously, this is really quite prominent in Iglesia ni Cristo, but you can see traces of this discourse sa ibang mga religious groups din. No? Ngayon, ang unity sa theology it's really mystical, di ba? What does it mean? Di ba? Nagkakaisa ang body of Christ. But where is the body of Christ? It's a mystical entity. Wherever people of faith are, there's the body of Christ, no? Pero sa Iglesia ni Cristo, it's very organizational. It's reflected in the organization. So makikita mo yun, halimbawa, doon sa architecture. Wherever you go, it's neo-Gothic. Doon pala, makikita mo yun. For other religious groups, no, it's really the fashion. Bawal magpagupit, bawal mag, ito, yung mga damit, dapat hindi mas mataas sa tuhod, mga ganyan. No? Doon na i-express yun. But for Iglesia ni Cristo, it's expressed in a far more politically charged manner. No? Elections. The reality is that at least 70% ang adherence rate according to exit polls, no? 70%. So if we're talking about, let's just assume that there are 2 million Iglesia members, no? Or so, no? Let's just assume na ilan sa kanila doon, at least 1 million ang boboto, 70% agad doon will follow, no? The endorsements of the religious leader. So there's the theology of unity and so forth. And unity as uniformity, you give up your freedom, your free will, for the sake of unity. Strict church, eh. That's really the power of a strict church. Which leads me to the other point. Na these churches, the theology of unity, or unity is not only a theological matter. It is also very sociological. Kasi makikita mo how socially controlled people are, eh. Diba? Pag-uusapan nyo sa isa't isa, kung sinundod mo ba yun? It's also sociological in the sense na the doctrine affects your own psychological disposition. Marami akong nakausap ng mga tao na feeling nila kahit gusto nilang iboto yung isang kandidato, pero pag hindi nila ginawa yun, nagkakasala sila. Hindi na yung theological eh, di ba? It's really the power of the social fact na sa sociology, the external force becoming internalized, internalization ang tawag natin doon. And meron ka ng self-restraint or disciplining of your body and of your choices. So nakikita natin doon na hindi lang siya theological, but is clearly structural, clearly internal. So marami akong nakausap din na mga kilala na dahil ayaw nilang iboto yung in-endorse ng administration, pamunuan, hindi nilang doon sila boboto. Para at least hindi sila magkasala. See? That's what I was saying kanina, di ba, na how religious worldviews can also be inimical to democracy, to democratic practice.
So ayun, di ba, pagkakaisa. Ang hirap naman minsan inuance noon, ano, kasi ang complex. Lalo na kapag nakikita natin nga that these teachings on unity could really be inimical to democratic practices, gaya nung binanggit ni Jahil na hindi na lang boboto para hindi humiwalay sa itinakda ng pamunuan.
Agree. And hindi lang natin yan nga makikita sa mga churches like the Iglesia ni Cristo, pero kahit sa iba pa, even the Catholic Church. Yung sense ng dilema, kailangan natin yon na mas maunawaan. Hindi talaga pwedeng basta mo sabihin na separation of church and state.
True. At lalo na kung pag-uusapan natin ang realidad na hindi lang naman nakabase sa Bible ang lahat ng relihiyon na nag-exist sa Pilipinas. Or hindi naman 100% ay Christians. Lalo pa na, syempre, as we all know, may significant Muslim Filipinos at mga iba pang nananatili sa indigenous belief system. Pwedeng yung iba nagsasubscribe sa Buddhism, sa Hinduism, sa Sikhism, although in smaller degrees, pero mayroon ding mga atheists. So, tinanong rin natin si Jahil sa kung paano natin ito mauunawaan, lalo na sa konteksto ng pagkakaroon natin ng significant Muslim population.
Nasaan yung mga Muslim? Nasaan ang mga Moro? Andun, nandun sa nagbibenta sa Divisoria. Ang gandun lang yan eh. Without us realizing it, actually, it engenders Islamophobia. It engenders the fear of the unknown, the fear of the other. Eh, akala ko ba isang bansa tayo? That's exactly what we're talking about, no? Yung the dangers, the material consequences of claiming the Philippines to be just a Christian nation. May challenge sa atin dito eh. Mababa kasi what Manuel Sapitula refers to as the religious literacy of the Philippines. Yung mababa yung pagkakaunawa niya sa hindi niya kapaniniwala. When the Marawi siege took place in 2017, anong sabi ng mga tao dito sa Maynila? Eh kasi yung mga Muslim, violente. O di dun pa lang, parang you're essentially saying, ay talaga, dapat bombahin niya. Dun pa lang, makikita na natin na wala siya sa political consciousness natin. Bunga rin niya, syempre, nung mula nung discourse that the Spaniards created, no? Mga Moro bilang juramentado, no? Bilang mga, hindi nila mapasok yung Mindanao kasi maraming nakuhuramentado doon. Pero, so tuloy, yung stereotype na violent sila, dalan-dalan natin hanggang hundreds of years later. We don't, in other words, have consciousness that the Philippines is in fact not a Christian country, but a religiously diverse society. That is the challenge. It takes the transformation of our educational system. It takes the transformation of our political system even. Wouldn't it be nice kung magmamandate ka na you have a national senator who would always come from the Bangsamoro? That would change the color of our politics.
It cuts across so many layers, no? Kahit sa education sector, kasi syempre, nakaka-apekto talaga yung schools at iba pang mga institutions sa development ng religious literacy na may malaking epekto rin sa politika ng bansa.
Yes, kaya nga we also asked Jigil kung anong pwedeng advice na mabigay natin sa Filipino voters in terms of, you know, thinking about the relationship between religion and politics.
It's important for every Filipino voter to be cognizant of religion and politics because religion is a consequential institution. But it's also consequential as a belief, as a worldview. Religion as institution, correct. Endorsements, alam natin yan. Religion as a belief, correct. Alam natin yan. Pag-usapan natin kanina yan. Worldviews, diba, that affect, you know, that create all these hierarchies of acceptable lives and unacceptable lives. Pag-usapan natin yan. I don't think many Filipinos are really aware of this, of the interplay between religion and politics. Kaya tuloy, ang babaw lagi ng reaction. Church-state separation, mababaw yun, mga kapatid, no? Mababaw yun. Kasi, yes, constitutionally, the church has to be separated from the state. The state has to be separated from the church. And there are really protocols for that. Pero paano mo naman isa-separate yun kung cultural ang religion? Hindi naman pwede boboto yung tao na, yung religion mo, hawag mo na isasama pagpasok mo dun sa putungan. I therefore encourage all of us, think of this question as a takeaway from this podcast. What does it mean to be Filipino? What does it mean to be a Filipino voter in a religiously diverse society? Not in a Christian society, but in a religiously diverse society. One in which you expect disagreements. One in which you expect different worldviews affecting one of us. And there are only two ways to answer that. One is, ipaglalaban mo ang tama at ikaw lang ang tama and therefore everybody else is wrong. Or ipaglalaban mo yung idea na, meron tayong pwedeng pag-agrihan. The common good. Karapatang pantao, dignidad ng tao, kapakanan ng mga nahihirap, kapakanan ng mga pinabayaan at napapabayaan. Kapakanan ng mga taong hindi natin kilala, pero mahalaga rin ang buhay nila. After all, that's what our faiths teach us anyway. Our faith is useless if ultimately you're only thinking of yourself. Our faith can only make sense in relation to other people. To love God, to love the transcendent, to love the divine can only make sense if you're able to express that love, not just to yourself, but to other people.
Ang ganda nun, ano, yung sinabi niya that religion is a consequential institution.
At yung our faith is useless if you only think about yourself.
Or yung to love the divine can only make sense if you're able to express that love not just to yourself but to other people.
Pa! So, alright, that's it for this episode of podcast.
You can follow Dr. Jail Cornelio on his Twitter account at Jail Cornelio. And of course, continue following podcasts in Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
You can also visit our website, podcast.org, for the full interview with Dr. Cornelio. It's a website exclusive.
So, thank you very much for listening. And as always, have a good day.